afternoon. We are ready to hear our third case of the day, 97-3818, Antisdale v. City of Oak Creek Police and Fire Commission. Mr. Haskin, representing the City of Oak Creek Police and Fire Commission.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'm
not sure it's all for Officer Antisdale in the City of Oak Creek. May it please the Court, I intend on covering three major points in the argument this afternoon in this case. First, that the City of Oak Creek had the authority to make Officer Antisdale's promotion subject to a one-year probationary period on the three following bases. Number one, the management rights clause of the labor contract. Secondly,
can you slow down, please? Number one point.
The management rights clause of the labor contract.
Thank you.
Secondly, section 62.13.4 of the statutes regarding police and fire commissions. And finally, 165.85 sub 4 of the law enforcement standards board statute. Second point that we're going to make is that the decision that Officer Antisdale did not successfully complete probation as a sergeant and would be retained as a patrol officer was not a demotion, it was not disciplined, and therefore he was not entitled to a hearing under 62.13, parent 5. And finally, with time permitting, I intend to discuss the ramification of the court's decision in this case. Let me start a little bit unconventionally by covering the second point first. And one of the fundamental flaws in Judge Fine's decision in the Court of Appeals was his characterization of the police chief's decision that Officer Antisdale did not successfully complete probation as a demotion. And once the chief's decision was improperly characterized as a demotion, it was understandable but legally incorrect for the court to conclude that Antisdale was entitled to a due process hearing under 62.13, parent 5. The statute says an officer cannot be reduced in rank without a hearing. But Officer Antisdale, as a probationary promotee who failed to successfully complete probation, never achieved the rank of sergeant and remained as a patrol officer. He never obtained the new rank of sergeant.
So you're saying the entire promotion is contingent upon the probationary period. So there was a letter I recall reading where, you know, you're now being promoted, and as part of that promotion, we have this probationary period. So that, you're saying it never took place, and it only is in the final, in the end, when that's when you're really...
That's right. And since the decision was made that he didn't achieve the position on a permanent basis, he never achieved that rank, then it was not a reduction in rank which required a hearing. So there was never a permanent appointment, and it wouldn't have been a permanent appointment until probation was successfully completed.
Does a reduction in rank require a hearing?
Yes, a reduction in rank does require a hearing under the statute.
Now, if he was... if you saw him in the morning and you said, good morning, what would you say? Good morning, Sergeant?
You would say, good morning, Sergeant.
And after he got that letter in December, what did you say? Good morning, officer?
Good morning, officer.
Is that a reduction in rank?
It's not. And just as in Kaiser, Officer Kaiser one day was walking on the street, had a uniform, had a gun, and was an officer. But he was on probation.
He was a new hiree.
He was a new hiree. But he did not become a permanent officer until he successfully completed his probationary period. So it's one thing, he had arrest powers as a police officer. If he gave somebody a citation, it was a valid citation. But from a labor management standpoint, he was not a permanent officer until he successfully completed a probation. And the same thing holds true for Officer Antisdale.
But Antisdale was a permanent officer. That was my point, that he was permanently an officer. And then the difference between that and the case that Justice Bradley referred to is the new hire.
That's right.
That the major difference, that one had been there, one was a new hire in accordance with the statute.
Correct. And in this particular situation, the probation relates to the promotion. It doesn't relate to the employment. And I think that that's one of the things that Tisdale has emphasized in his brief, is that we're trying to get rid of a career officer. We have never contended that we would have the right to terminate Officer Tisdale's employment. He had a property right to his employment. He had a vested right in his employment with the City of Oak Creek, but he did not have a property right to the promotion. So why
do you feel that's the case? Why isn't there a property right to the rank of sergeant and the pay that goes with being a sergeant?
Because it basically flows from the appointment process that the Police and Fire Commission and the chief had the right to make that appointment on a probationary basis. And until that probation is successfully completed, no property right attaches. Just as in Kaiser, until the probationary period as a new hire was completed, he didn't have a property right. Officer Kaiser, the patrol officer, did not have a property right in that position that brought with it the due process protections that meant before he could be terminated, Kaiser, that he needed a due process hearing. He was not entitled to one because he was only on probation.
So it would be your argument that unless there's a property right or a liberty interest, due process does not require a hearing.
That's correct. And it's important to keep in mind that the decision was not to terminate Officer Tisdale. It was simply to retain him as a patrol officer. He didn't have a property right or a due process right in the promotion. So he was simply retained at the position of patrol officer.
Now, Counsel, where in the statutes do you find authority to establish a probationary period for a promotee?
It's in Section 62.13.4. And the important... Now, you don't see the word probation in there?
Well, that's why I'm asking the question.
Okay. But one of the other fundamental mistakes that the Court of Appeals made was, and this goes to the second part of my argument about the authority to set the periods of probation for promotion. One of the fundamental mistakes that the Court of Appeals said it did is it relied exclusively on 165.85, the Law Enforcement Standards Board statute, as the authority to make a promotion on a probationary period. But Kaiser, the case that the Court of Appeals looked at and that we're looking at here, actually relied on 165.85, the collective bargaining agreement, and 62.13.4 for authority to set a probationary period. Here's what the court said in Kaiser. And I think this is critical to this case. It says Section 62.13.4D provides that boards of police shall examine candidates to determine their qualifications. The rules governing examination shall be calculated to secure the best service in the department. There is no doubt that the use of a probationary period is an excellent means of examining candidates and is well suited to securing the best service available. It enables the board to better evaluate a potential officer's skill and character. Probation is a continuation of the hiring process.
What are you reading from? I'm sorry.
That's Kaiser.
Okay.
So Kaiser says, look to 62.13.4 for the authority to set a probationary period for a new hire. We say to this court, look to 62.13.4 to set a probationary period for promotions. Now, your answer may be 62.13.4 says nothing, it doesn't mention the word probation at all. And yet this court held in a unanimous decision in Kaiser that 62.13.4 was the authority for police and fire commissions to set probationary periods. And it's also important to note that 62.13.4 does not distinguish in any way, shape, or form between new hires and promotions.
What provision in 62.13 4 did Kaiser rely on? D?
6213-4D.
What provision are you arguing under 6213-4?
We are relying under 6213-4 A and D.
A and what?
A and D.
D. Let's take a look at A. What in A are you relying on? As I see it, A deals with subordinates.
Right.
The chief shall appoint subordinates subject to the approval by the board. Such appointment shall be made by promotion when this can be done with advantage, otherwise from an eligible list. So we've got two routes.
Eligible list provided by examination, which then
that
goes to Duke.
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry.
Do you want to do it? Okay. Which one are you relying on there, then?
Are those two options?
Yes.
When this can be done with advantage.
Promotion.
Yes, can be made by promotion when this can be done with advantage. And in addition to the Kaiser case, we've got another case that's cited in the briefs that speaks to 6213-4.
Okay, before you get to that, before you get to Kaiser, I want to stay with the statute.
Sure.
So you're saying that you're going in the category of made by promotion when it can be done with advantage. So
right.
You're not talking about any list. That's the other option. You're not going the list route.
Right.
Okay, now, what else in that statute are you relying on for your position? I'm talking about sub 4. What are you relying on? You told me what you're relying on in A. What else are you relying on?
In A?
In any
Well, I think that to break down 6213-4, I think it has to be read in its entirety. And it talks about, you know, securing the best service. C, for instance, says...
Well, you initially answered my question. You're relying on sub A and sub D.
Yeah, I would say that's it's the primary authority, and if I could modify my answer to your question, I would say we're relying on all of 6213-4.
Doesn't sub D deal with the list and the examination?
It talks about the examination that that can be held. I don't see that it specifically refers to the list. And examinations...
Well, it says, looking at sub A, from an eligible list provided by examination and approval by the board and kept on file with the clerk. And then mm-hmm. sub D deals with the examination. It starts out, the examination shall be free for all U.S. citizens, etc.
The promotion process is a process where there's a test that's taken. There are a number of parameters that chiefs have in making that promotion, and I think that they look at all of 6213-4 read in its entirety, particularly with A, where we say that it can be made by promotion when this can be done with advantage, is authority for the police chief and the commission, for the police chief to appoint and the commission to approve promotion.
Why don't you go the route and say, look, this is ambiguous. I mean, you're making an argument that's a very good argument, but it's not an argument that's can't be subject to attack. You're relying on A and D,
mm-hmm.
and the response by your opposing counsel is that D deals with a list that sets forth examination reference, so D doesn't apply to you at all, and so you can't bootstrap D. And so, I mean, I'm not sure which one of you is right, but that's part of the argument. Why don't you just say, look, this is ambiguous, and so let's just go to policy and Kaiser and extend Kaiser.
Well, I think basically we're looking at Kaiser and we're looking at the Milwaukee Police Association case as the precedent for this decision. This statute, I think, as was pointed out in one of the amicus briefs, is frankly not one of the most artfully drafted statutes. A lot of it comes from the early 1900s, but what we do have is some clear authority in Kaiser that interprets these statutes. And basically it looks at, and I think this is where the Court of Appeals went wrong, it looks at 6213-4 and says that this language in this statute is the authority to set probationary periods for new hires.
I know, but as you can tell by my question, Kaiser deals with 4D. There's an argument that D doesn't apply in your Clay case because you're not going by the list in the examination, but by promotion from within.
Mm-hmm. And I think a further edification on that point comes from the Milwaukee Police Association case. And let me just read from that, because that refers to all of sub 4. It doesn't break it down A or D. That's the case that two police officers, City of Milwaukee, were let go while they were on probation. New hires. They tried to arbitrate that under the collective bargaining agreement. And the Court of Appeals says you can't do that. And they said you can't do it because 6213.4, as a whole, authorizes police chiefs to make appointments on a probationary basis and commissions to approve those appointments on a probationary basis. Here's what they say. To allow an arbitrator to reinstate a terminated probationary officer destroys the board's power to limit the selection of police officers on statutorily found bases. Were we to so read the collective bargaining agreement to allow such a termination to be arbitrable, we would be allowing a general contractual term to govern over an express power to select, as vested in police chiefs and boards, granted in 62.13.4. And that, again, is selection of new hires on a probationary basis. And I'll say again that the statute says, 6213 says nothing about probation. And yet, this case says that there is an express power in that statute to do it on a probationary basis. And I think the fundamental reason is the logic in the Kaiser case that probation is a well-accepted, a sound principle for evaluating new officers. I mean, what we do with new officers and promotees, it gives the chief, it gives the department an opportunity to see these officers in action, to determine whether or not they have the ability to serve as a police officer. It's commonly accepted. It's just part of the appointment process. I think that the brief of the Madison Police and Fire Commission, the amicus brief that was filed, was really an excellent analysis of distinguishing between the appointment process under 6213.4 and the disciplinary process on 6213.5. And since this is all part and flows from the appointment ability of the chief and the commission, we look to that for authority, and we never get to the discipline standpoint. And as it relates to promotions, you know, one of the points that my opponent makes in his brief is that, well, you've had an opportunity to look at the officer. He's a career officer. You got to know what kind of a leader he's going to be, or how he's going to do as a sergeant. And the fact of the matter is that that's not the case. It's one thing to be led. It's another to be a leader. And the probationary process, which is inherent in the authority granted to chiefs and police and fire commissions under 6213.4, is a way to determine whether or not this individual has the leadership abilities, has the skills, has the character to be a leader, to be an example to the people that he's serving. And that's what happened here, frankly. Officer Tisdale was on probation. The chief learned that Officer Tisdale had used his address. He allowed another officer to use his address as his home so his son could go to the Oak Creek Public Schools and avoid having to pay tuition as a non-resident. So basically, it was a situation where he defrauded the taxpayers of Oak Creek out of a substantial amount of money by this scam that was set up in allowing his address to be used as the home address of another officer. Let me just address the collective bargaining agreement briefly as another means of authority. The Management Rights Clause is Article 3 of the collective bargaining agreement. And the clause says specifically that the chief has the right to manage the department and to promote employees subject to existing practices. Now, at page 14 of Tisdale's brief, he quotes the Management Rights Clause, but he leaves out the very important phrase, subject to existing practices. And at page 69 of the appendix to our brief, we've set out the full Management Rights Clause, It's very clear that it says that it is subject to existing practices. Now, one of the few things that both sides agree upon in this case is that for 15 years, the practice in the Oak Creek Police Department had been to make promotions subject to a probationary period. And so we say that there are three separate ways under the collective bargaining agreement for this court to say that the past practice is binding upon the parties.
I have a question. It may have been that you did probationary appointments, but do you have any past practice that you can demote the person? And I don't mean, I'll put that in quotes, without due cause? Do you have any examples where somebody was put in, promoted, probationary, and then didn't get a hearing and was demoted?
That hadn't happened previously.
That hasn't happened. So the only thing you have that's precedent in the department is that they labeled the promotion probationary, but you have no precedent what that meant.
Well, I think that the what it meant is it is what we find from Kaiser and from the other decisions that talk about probation. I think it's inherent.
But we're talking about the language of the labor contract that says subject to the practice, and we don't have a practice.
Well, I think the practice is that the promotions were made on a probationary basis, and then the issue in this case is, well, what does that mean? And I think
that's
that,
right, and you don't have a practice as to what it means.
Right.
Okay.
But I think that the authority in Kaiser is that what it means is that the due process rights haven't attached, the property rights haven't attached.
What about Article 6, which says for the first year of his or her employment, each employee should be on probation? Now, I guess there are two ways of reading that. That means employment is any employment in the department. So, initially, it could also mean employment in a new job. Is there any interpretation of that clause?
Well, I think that you're right. I think it creates some ambiguity, and what the St. Croix Falls School District case says to us is that when there is ambiguity in the labor contract, then you can look to past practice. And so if you say, yeah, that's an ambiguous provision because it may or may not apply to promotions, only to new hires, I think that gives you the authority under that case, the St. Croix Falls case, to look at past practice. And past practice becomes binding upon the parties because of the mutuality of agreement that really springs from the practice, because both parties have adhered to this practice.
That bothers me because the language used in that clause is discharge or dismissal or discipline, and he wasn't discharged.
No.
He wasn't dismissed.
No.
Is this discipline?
No, it is not discipline.
So under Article 6, it's troublesome. It doesn't quite fit.
Well,
page 70 of your paper.
I think the significance of the language is that it's a probationary period. Mm-hmm. And I think then the question becomes, well, what's the significance of that? And I think that's where we look at precedent. That's where we look at the court's unanimous decision in Kaiser and say, well, what does probation mean? And probation means that if you don't achieve the position, a new hire doesn't achieve the patrol status after 1 year probationary period, or if the promotee doesn't achieve the higher rank, then they just stay at the same rank. And I think all the fears that have been brought forth in my opponent's brief I just are unfounded. We're not going to get into a situation where promotions are going to be made and then at a whim reduce officers in rank. It just doesn't make any sense. There is a great deal of investment by the chief, by the department, by the commission in the promotion process. They want those officers to succeed. They want those officers to be leaders of the men and women within their department. They're not going to promote individuals with the idea that 6 months or 9 months later they're going to drop, they're going to be retained at the rank that they came from.
Mr. Haskin,
yes.
I was just looking at Judge Fine's opinion in the Court of Appeals, and as you're well aware, he relies very strongly on 6213.5 EM, and he reads that language as plain on its face. And let me just refer to his opinion. The statute is plain. No subordinate may be reduced in rank based on charges filed by the chief unless the board determines whether there is just cause to sustain the charges. Now, as I understand your argument, it rests on the idea that you don't believe this is a reduction in rank. Is that correct?
That's correct. We never get to 62.13.5. We never get there because the officer never achieved the promoted rank. Since he never got the permanent rank of sergeant, he wasn't being reduced in rank. He simply never got the rank of sergeant in the first place. So he remained at the rank of patrol officer.
So if we were to find that this was a reduction in rank, then your argument fails.
I would say that would be the conclusion, but I feel very strongly and very confident of the fact that 62.13.4 says that you don't get the rank, you don't achieve the rank until you successfully complete the probationary period. And this is a practice that has developed all across the state using the probationary period. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Fuchs, you represent the plaintiff, James Antisdale?
Yes, Your Honor. John Fuchs representing James Antisdale. I think this is a wrong file in terms of the policy considerations being asked of this court. Antisdale had 11 years on the job. The charge relates to untruthfulness, whether it was a tuition problem or an effort to improve the Oak Creek football team. The fact is what he did occurred prior to the promotion, and that was known. That's the state of the record. So if you call it untruthfulness and you want to look at what this was a discipline for an act occurring prior to the promotion. It wasn't even a failure to successfully complete the promotion. I think this court's focus on the management rights provision is well placed because that provision does talk about management rights in accordance with applicable laws. And the laws here are contained in Chapter 62 and in Chapter 165. I would submit to this court that before we try to, in effect, pound Oak Creek's square peg into a round hole, we watch very carefully the language in those statutes. One of the things most significant about those statutes is you can reconcile Chapter 62 with Chapter 165 as long as you don't extend the concept of promotion to promotions. And what I'm alluding to is this. The lack of the word probation in 62.13, as noted by this court, is consistent with the language of Chapter 165, as noted by Judge Fine. The language in Chapter 165 refers on its face to new recruits. I would ask this court to consider that, at least as written, the labor agreement is consistent with the statutes as Mr. Antisdale is asking that they be interpreted. Article 6 of the labor agreement, part of the record, clears up Chief Justice Abramson's concern because what it says about probation is, quote, for the first year of his or her employment.
But if the first year of employment is a sergeant,
that's a rank.
That's the
answer. I would submit to you, Your Honor, that it is a rank.
Rather than employment.
Yes, and I think that's a logical interpretation because, again, it has support in 165 and in 62.13.
Isn't your argument in the long run deleterious, possibly, to law enforcement officers? Because if I were the chief, I would say, hey, if I bring in somebody new from another department and bring them in as sergeant, I can put them on probation. Doesn't work out. Okay. He's gone. Or she's gone. If I promote somebody internally, I am stuck because I've got to show good cause. Is it good cause or due cause?
Just
cause. Thank you. And that may be hard to do, and I've got a long procedure and expense, etc. So I'm not going to promote from within.
With all due respect, Your Honor, I don't think that would occur, and I don't think it would be deleterious in two respects. Number one, the hypothetical that you just enunciated would occur as the chief's. So if we carried that forward, since you will hire a chief on occasion from outside, then it's chiefs who would be probationary. Whereas since you, generally speaking, promote from an eligible list, it is only your own who are on that eligible list. It's only the police officer who makes detective, who makes sergeant, who makes lieutenant, most often. And in terms of how this all fits together, at least in my mind, is that the legislature was recognizing something that you're alluding to. The new recruit probation makes sense. You don't know these people. You've hired them. What if they don't work out? You should be able to let them go without just cause. But after 11 years, for example, of judging Mr. Antisdale as an officer, isn't there a good argument that the best way to know who will qualify for that rank is the very person that you pick after watching them for 11 years?
Counsel, one of the arguments your opposing counsel makes deals with uniformity. That is, if I understand the argument, that cities, villages under the size of 4,000 in population, on the face of the statutes, can have promotions with a probationary period. Your argument is that municipalities in excess of that size have no authority for that. How do you respond to the consistency issue? I don't want to get to uniformity until the next case, so consistency issue.
That you're inherently stuck comparing apples to oranges. In a small municipality under 4,000, you have part-timers, you have people who come and go. You don't have the look at the pool, so to speak, of who you're going to promote that you have in a situation like this. To compare an Antisdale who worked full-time for 11 years and could be viewed to somebody who, in a smaller community, state fair, police, or whatever, that are there, you get a good look at them for 2 weeks of the year, but that's it. Inherently, I don't think there's uniformity there, nor do I think you could achieve it.
There are lots of villages, there's lots of cities in this state that are under the size of 4,000 that have at least a couple of full-time officers, not just all half-time and volunteer.
I recognize that, Your Honor, but I still think that there is a distinction in two respects. Number one, we are talking about a policy and how this court might interpret it, and the concept of uniformity as a policy, when I think the legislature may have, in terms of its limits on home rule authority, answered that for all of us. Second, there is still a distinction, as I think your hypothetical or reference to smaller communities points out, two or three full-time. You don't see them in the same light. It may not be the best answer, but the jurisdictions are different, and I think the rules are different as enunciated by the legislature. And I think that's what we are confined to, and that's what Oak Creek has to do, follow the legislative scheme.
How does the chief make an appointment by promotion? Can the chief just look around and say, you? Or does the chief have to open it up to a load of people?
Generally speaking, that reference in the statute about from an eligibility list is going to be followed, and generally speaking, there's going to be a recommendation to a fire and police commission.
Well, but that's, as I read it, that's why I asked you the question, because my ears perked up when you talked about it. It says an eligible list provided by examination. So did he promote by examination here?
The weight given to the examination is something that the statute doesn't dictate to the municipality. Somebody may put 80% of your score on the written exam. Somebody might put 60% on the oral. The statute doesn't control that. But you are going to have your list.
So promotions are made through examination.
Through examination and through assessment. It's a combination.
Maybe you didn't hear, or I heard differently, the chief's question. Was he promoted by examination here?
I will very candidly state to the court, my recollection is that he was.
Is it in the record one way or the other?
That's why I'm having trouble recalling. And if the record is differently, the last thing I want to do is make a misrepresentation of all places the Supreme Court. That is my recollection, however. And that's not to infer there are other places that I would make a
Let me count the ways.
I thought I'd head that question off before it came.
The, your opponent, the opposing counsel, places a great deal of faith on the Kaiser case and indicates that this would be a logical extension if you simply would say Kaiser talked about probation. That is a common sense way of handling this. I take it your position, you feel that, of course, Kaiser is not even applicable to this particular fact situation presented. Is that?
That is correct, sir. In fact, my position would be that the MPA case, the Kaiser case, the Hurley case, all of them are inapplicable because they all deal with a new hiree situation. They all deal with probation as enunciated and authorized by the legislature. Conversely, the City of Glendale case talks about 6213 as the exclusive remedy, nothing about probation, 6213 as the exclusive remedy for a reduction in rank. And I think in terms of the policy or in terms of just this court's recognition of the plain language of the statutes, much like Justice Fine wrote, we do have a bit of sophistry in the position taken by the chief in saying there's probationary promotions. This wasn't a discipline, yet he was demoted for untruthfulness. He wasn't demoted. In their briefs, he was, quote, put back. He didn't successfully complete his probation. Actually, it was an incident that occurred before the probation. So if we're going to set policy, I would submit to this court that you're being asked to set policy on a case that really doesn't support it or warrant it. What you had in this case, as the record does show, is a change in chiefs. And Sergeant Ann Tisdale was then no longer Sergeant Ann Tisdale. Yes, sir.
I take it that this appointment by the chief, which was subject to approval by the board under 16.13.4, did receive the approval of the board.
Yes.
What board is that referring to?
The Board of Fire and Police Commissioners.
Okay. Now, the statute says specifically the chief shall appoint subordinates subject to approval by the board. Now, what would there be to prevent the chief from taking Mr. Antisdale and putting him into this position and the board waiting 1 year and then denying approval?
Several things, Your Honor, at least as I think the record and the law supports this. Number one, the labor contract doesn't call for it. The management rights clause doesn't call for it. Secondly, and third, the statutes don't contemplate it. There's an old argument given of all people by an actor, Wilford Brimley. It don't say that, and we don't. The problem I have with this case is that the statutes, I think, are easily read. And the home rule authority of a municipality is only derived such as the legislature or the Constitution give it, expressly or inferred. And the legislature covered this one. They put all the words, appointee, the new person, recruit, hiree, probation, all as to your new selected officers, the people you haven't gotten to look at.
Well, what is it about the management rights contract or the contract or anything that would prevent the board from having an internal rule or an internal practice that they don't approve these things until there's been a probationary period? Promotions.
I could structure it. It didn't occur in this case, but I could structure it. First, I would, unlike one of the points made in the course of Mr. Haskins' provision, he would show up for work during that probationary period, and he would still be Officer Ann Tisdale. He wouldn't be Sergeant. Second, he would be at an officer's pay. Third, that probationary period would be a look-see qualifying part of the promotion process. But once I gave him the rank, because it is my intent to be true to those statutes, I wouldn't take it away from them other than for just cause and the procedures mandated by 6213. Again, the exclusive remedy under the City of Glendale case.
Counsel, let's look at 6213. 6213.5 EM is the language, I think, that was relied upon by the majority opinion of the Court of Appeals and asserted that it was clear. 6213-5EM applies to charges that are filed. Were any charges filed here?
No, specifically they were not, Your Honor.
So, if 6213-5EM applies only in situations where there are charges filed, and there were no charges, as you say, specifically filed here, were there... How can you say 6213-5EM applies?
Because 6213 in its entirety, including 5EM, is how, in effect, someone gets demoted.
But it only applies in situations, I think it says here, no subordinate may be suspended, reduced in rank, or removed by the board under paragraph E based on charges filed. But there are no charges filed.
But your hypothetical, carried out to its logical conclusion, would allow demotion with a complete circumvention of 6213, because what you would do is just demote for unsatisfactory performance as opposed to something which warranted a charge.
Well, that may get us into issues about due process and permanency of the position. Let's take a look at those issues. I'm looking at in Appendix 31. It's the letter that was sent on March 1, 1996. The letter advising Mr. Antisdale of the promotion. And it says, it's a short letter, but it says in the third paragraph, upon completion of a one-year probationary period, you will receive a permanent appointment as sergeant. Is it your position that your client did not understand that this was a probationary period?
The extent of his understanding, I would respectfully submit, is irrelevant, because the chief's authority and ability to do that, to put that letter in there, is no greater than what the law allows. And to unilaterally put that in, this becomes a side deal with a represented employee. It's an illegal act under the Municipal Employees Relations Act.
Your response is a good one. Let me rephrase the question. Is it your understanding, did your client have an understanding that this was the practice of promotion to have a probationary period?
There's nothing in the record to suggest that he had any knowledge of how much of a practice this was. And in fact, the record would show that there were actually two summary judgment hearings. Oak Creek itself had to supplement their record to come up with information showing this was a practice. And as the questions of this court have pointed out, at best it was a practice to put it in there. But in terms of taking the rank away, you're dealing with what this record would indicate is the first case. So I reject the practice aspect of it, and then submit, even if it was a practice, it was an illegal practice.
Besides 6213-5EM, what else are you relying on as authority? Well, before we... If 6213-5EM is silent on the issue of... If it is silent on the issue of probationary promotees, what are we to make of that silence?
If the silence existed in a vacuum, I would submit it would be for this court to clear this up for us or the state as a whole. But that silence doesn't exist in a vacuum. The legislature has actually shown that it is aware of the idea of probation, and then has specifically, not necessarily in 6213, more so in 165, said probation is for the new appointees. So my position would be it's answered.
Again, let's look at 165 then. If it is silent on whether or not probation exists for promotees, doesn't say one way or the other, what are we to make of that silence?
Again, and with all due respect, Your Honor, 165.85.4b1 specifically says no person may be appointed as a law enforcement officer except on a temporary or probationary basis. I beg to differ that it is silent. However, I recognize based on the Chief Justice's questions, that now we are going to maybe deal with the idea of does appointed mean appointed as a police officer, appointed as a sergeant.
When I say silent, I have no doubt that it makes reference to no person may be appointed as a law enforcement officer except on a temporary probation period, that refers, arguably, to new hirees. But is there anything there that addresses probationary promotees?
No, there is not.
So if it's silent in the statute, what are we to make of that silence?
If it were silent, my position would be that if it were silent, period, if probation somehow had to be worked into these statutes through a common law interpretive process, we would not know what to make of it. It would be a policy for this court to decide. But because it's at least in there, showing that the legislature had a cognizant awareness of the concept of probation, and clearly, the one place, recruit, is the one word that clearly is the new hiree. They put probation in the same statute as the word recruit. I submit to you from that, we know where the legislature meant probation to end.
Is it your position then, since the legislature addresses the issue that there is probation for new recruits, that by addressing that issue, that we automatically infer that they didn't want probation for anyone else?
As a basic principle of statutory construction, yes.
Could I ask you, what will be the effect of the decision in this case on other departments? Is this practice widespread?
One of the things that troubles me most, Your Honor, is that the League filed a brief. And the League filed a brief saying to this court, this will have an effect on other departments. And you have no record before you how many departments are having probationary promotions and how many aren't. And I have a feel for that in my own experience, but I that's how you intended the question, sir. I mean, in my opinion, it should have very little effect, and if the chiefs are taking care in their promotion process, it should have no negative effect. Choose wisely.
If I were chief, I would then put in a labor contract or otherwise that I'd appoint all promotions on probationary period.
I recognize.
Because it would give me more power as chief.
True, but there are even some chiefs, Your Honor, who would recognize that they are subservient to the legislature. And in this case, I don't believe they have that power,
no,
unless and until it is given.
They did. The court said they did.
Then they haven't. Obviously, you are the end of the line, Your Honor. But
oh, no, you could get the law changed. Which is the middle stopping ground.
I thought I was correct on the end of the line, but I'm not a young man. I think the point in it, in terms of the policy, and as I said, this makes for a very bad test case, because what you really have here is a change in chiefs, and you have an incident that occurred before it. But I think every once in a while in a case, there's a fascinating admission that I think suggests something, especially to a body such as the Supreme Court, about where the chiefs are coming from. And interestingly enough, it's the amicus brief of the Chiefs Association that I think sums this case up best. Because there's a line in that brief wherein it is said by counsel for the Chiefs Association that if this court does not reverse Judge Fine, then you will have put an end to promoting, quote, borderline people. I hope you do. They have a chance to look at them. They shouldn't be promoting borderline people. I don't see the policy demands that would require this court to go beyond statutes which I think significantly must be read in conjunction with each other, 165 and 62, and put probationary where the legislature put it, and it takes us back to the It doesn't say that argument that I think Oak Creek is trying to assert. And the point the Chief Justice made about wouldn't you, if you were the chief, try and get the contract amended to do that? Again, this record, the chief never did that. The contract here, clearly, you don't have that. So I submit to you that simplistically, we have a statutory mandate, and we have a statutory mandate that reflects a policy that makes sense. Probation for those who you haven't had a look at, and that we follow that.
I think there is an argument that makes some sense, as advanced by your opposing counsel, that it is good policy to put promotees on probation. And that policy isn't just coming through my mouth, it's coming through the Kaiser Court. The Kaiser Court referenced the position of law enforcement for our public safety. It referenced better management. If I were creating a system anew, which I'm not, but if I were, if it were just on policy, it makes all the sense in the world that that's the way, especially in such an important position like a supervisory law enforcement officer, that we want a person that's tried and tested. And that's why you have all of these probationary forms in the appendix. And that's why your client had to sign these forms. And some of these forms that he signed and the mission of police sergeant training and evaluation program mentions over and over and over again that he is a probationary sergeant.
They do. They are also wrong. You can't put in your own memorandums things that you don't have the home rule power to do. Your policy, I would submit to you, can best be addressed as follows. If that is what they want, probationary promotees, then it is the chiefs or the FPCs that should go see the legislature. They're the ones that need the law changed. In terms of public safety, I submit to you, just for your consideration, that yes, a supervisory officer is extraordinarily important. Let's not politicize the job. Change in chiefs, and Tisdale loses his rank. Let's select them on merit. The tests, the list, promote from that list, and don't then leave the guy hanging for a year when, from a due process standpoint, he does have a reasonable expectation in that rank, only to be removed on a whim. I think from a policy standpoint, and I would just ask your consideration, people often use the expression paramilitary organization to describe a police department. Not a popular expression, but in this instance, this was not a failure to complete promotion, and interestingly enough, this court has nothing before it regarding Sergeant Dan Tisdale's performance as a sergeant to set this policy on. Again, even if the court choose to consider that policy, and even if it was being considered in Kaiser, we go back to the proposition, what about the statutory scheme? I think clearly, absent a stretch, the statute place probation only as to new hirees. And I would ask the court to consider that and treat this as a simple case of statutory construction.
But don't go in the appendix. There are evaluations on page 59 and 60 and 61. Who made those evaluations?
They were made by either the chief or a member of his command staff, but they weren't the reason for the loss of rank.
So we do know from looking at these anyway that he performed on a level of 1 to 7, which to me like somewhere around 5 or 6. You know what?
Yes, sir. But I have difficulty reconciling that with the given reason for the demotion, or if I am to be more neutral, the putting back to police officer. So again, I rely on the statutes.
Why were these evaluations made?
I can only say that in my experience, there are always evaluations of performance in a police department.
Well, counsel, come on. These evaluations were made because the mission of police sergeant training and evaluation requires it. On page 1 of that mission statement that describes the training and evaluation, probationary sergeant is mentioned 7 times. On page 2, it's mentioned 15 times. And on page 3 and 4, it goes on to explain how these evaluations will be made and graded.
I understand that, but what I am saying is that evaluations do not stop with the probationary process. That was the point I was trying to make.
Thank you, counsel.
Obviously, this case has a lot of significance around the state, not necessarily because of all the folks in the courtroom this afternoon, but there were 5 amicus briefs that were filed in this case. There's a lot of interest in it. And in terms of the ramifications of your decision, if you were to affirm the Court of Appeals, I suspect that you would do so on the same rule, on the same basis that the judge fined it. And if you did that, there would be one very important aspect of your decision that hasn't been discussed here, was touched upon only briefly in the amicus briefs, and that is, what about fire departments? Because Judge Fine relied exclusively on 16585, which is a law enforcement standards board, applies only to police departments, has no applicability to fire departments. And so what this court would be saying to fire departments is, you have no, fire chiefs have no inherent authority under 6213.4 to set probationary periods for new hires. And I think that would be a terrible message to give to the fire chiefs, and I think they'd be very upset about it, that they couldn't hire people on a probationary basis. But talking about 16585, that is a minimum mandatory statute regarding recruit training and employment standards. And what it says is that cities, municipalities, can set regulations that are more stringent than what's included in the statute. And there is a rather obscure but vague reference to probationary periods for existing employees in 16585 that has not been touched on in the briefs. It's at 16585-4BN. Now, I'm not suggesting that it has applicability to this case. It says, no person other than an officer elected by popular vote may continue as a law enforcement or tribal law enforcement officer except on a temporary or probationary basis unless that person completes annual recertification training. So this idea of recertification training obviously applies to existing employees, and it talks about probation. So 16585 doesn't just apply to recruits. It applies to existing employees, and it gives municipalities the ability to set higher standards, which was what was done in this case. I also want to touch briefly on the question that was raised about villages and cities and the ramifications of villages and cities under 4,000 people, population. And we would have a rather nonsensical situation where the smaller communities could promote subject to probationary period and larger cities could not. And I would submit to you that there's a greater concern for Kenosha, for Green Bay, for Milwaukee, to be able to promote individuals on a probationary basis to see whether or not the leaders within their department have the characteristics and quality that it takes to be a good leader, to observe them under a probationary period. We'd have the result that in Whitefish Bay, a village, if this court ruled against us, that in Whitefish Bay you could set probationary periods for promotions, but in Glendale you could not. Two neighboring communities, it simply would not make any sense. We go back to the fact that in the language in Kaiser, probation is an excellent tool to allow police and fire departments to secure the best service available for the department. This provision of probationary promotions is one, when you strip away all the legal arguments You get back to the fact that 6213-4 gives the authority to the police department to make appointments, to make promotions. Our case law has said that even though it doesn't use the term probationary period, it gives the police department the authority to make probationary periods. And it doesn't distinguish between new hires and promotions. And that just makes sense. It just makes sense that if we're going to put officers on the street, if we're going to give officers stripes, and we're going to put them in a position of leadership of their fellow officers, that the chief have an opportunity to observe those individuals under fire and make sure that they are the type of leaders that chief wants within his department. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. That concludes our argument on this third case. The court is going to take a momentary recess so that it can bring in the tons of papers.